Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. I can't believe I am back. It's nice to be back. It's nice to be home. I had to, get up and leave right after the summit and, 4 o'clock in the morning. So it's like all a blur, but I just popped out on Wednesday when I got back home, and now it's Thursday already. So wow, things just happen and you are a first responder, but everything is okay. Thank you for all of your well wishes. Thank you for holding down the fort on the page. Paul, I know it came without warning. Also for me, came without warning. And I just didn't have a minute to catch up with anything. But we did have the summit, and it was good. I don't know what else to say. It felt beautiful. Those of you who were there last year, same. Great feeling, less time. We did end at 5. I was very punctual this year because, in the exit things, we did take a lot of time going through. So this year I didn't take, I made sure that all the time was when we said people got out on time. Nobody was, left being tired or anything like that. Even though no one complained about it, I still needed to learn that. So I'm learning so much about many, many things at once. And as a result of that, I now feel like I can travel with it. I wanted to beforehand, but I think my next stop is Chicago since I'm from there, and it'll be in September. So we'll just keep those going because I like the way they feel. I like the conversations we have. I love the questions people have, and it's very cool. But today we are on Dream Theme Thursday. What a day to come back on and get to read people's dreams and break them down. And I heard this term. I was talking to one of the baseball people this these past few days, and the one man, he's so cool. I love talking to him because every time I talk to him, I get a new phrase. And he was telling me about how we were going to do something and finish it. And instead of saying, oh, we're going to finish it, he said, okay, we'll button it down. And I keep finding places to say, we will button it down, because it made so much sense to me, because you can only button one thing down at a time, but it eventually is buttoned down. Imagine. So I love it so much. And anyway, now we're going to do our dreams. I just had to put that in there. So Dream Theme Thursday. Today's first dream, it comes from Susan. It's off my page. It says, here we go. I was in an elevator with a buddy who carried a weapon. He was planning a robbery and asked me to help. Then he had to leave the elevator to get the weapon. Oh, that's interesting. Oh, he carried the weapon, then he went to go get it. Okay. I blocked the elevator by stepping into the door to keep it from closing. Suddenly, it dawned on me. I had a choice. I could just leave the elevator and do what I wanted to do. And I woke up. That's interesting that it had to be so extreme that somebody was going to rob somewhere and you want to be so helpful and you are so helpful that you were going to help him do something that was going to get you in trouble. Think about that. But then you decided you didn't have to help what you didn't want to help because you originally wouldn't want to do that. And you just left. Now, let's take that situation in real life. You do like to help people and you help a lot of people, but sometimes there's things maybe you don't want to do, but you do because you might feel like you have to. If you feel like you have to, pay attention to the stuff that you believe in your heart you really, really want to do. Otherwise, use your time wisely, even if that time you use is you being alone while you are using that time. because it really is about discernment and assessment and self-assessment. When we take care of the things that we really care about, life takes care of us differently because everything is an energy exchange. So when you're exchanging with life, well, I'll just do this for the next few minutes, a lot of people are going to come up to you and ask you for your time. They're going to do it. Because all of a sudden, your energy of just helping everybody is what's going to be prevalent. But if you just do what you really, really want, the people who would just ask you to waste your time and not really care that you've done what they asked you to do and they left you holding the bag like this person would have in the robbery, because, you know, criminals turn on each other day in and day out. But if you respected your time, other people, without you even saying that you're doing that, would also respect your time. Like, let's just say this summit, I respected everybody's time. The first day it was funny because, you know, everybody as a whole, except the people that were there setting up, came in late. Started at 9, we started at 9:30, and I had this detailed plan down to the minute. But I worked within that plan to keep us on time. Even with that, I knew I needed to keep that schedule, and I did. Not because of rigidity, but because not only do I respect my own time, but I've respected the time of the other people. Where before, I could sit all day and talk. But my bigger question was, does everyone else? But as I started respecting my time, and this particular weekend, I knew that I was going to have to leave on Monday morning, but that was a surprise I was going to have to leave. It made me even respect my time more. There are no accidents. You know, sometimes things happen, and they make you just spring into action, and that's what you do. So when you think like that, the choices you make become different as well. So you had to be put in a situation, and I don't mean to belabor this, but it's a small dream, but there's a lot in it, is that when there's a robbery involved, that's breaking a law. So sometimes the ability to say, no, I'm not going to help you with a robbery, you were holding the door for the robber to come back. But it hit you before you did what you were doing, which also tells you that your foresight is becoming way more aware instead of just, you know, not planning, not doing, but planning to a point so that you know what you're doing and then living freely within that. So it's got a lot in there because of the extremes, but, you know, dreams have extremes because otherwise we would be like, oh, yeah, well, we were all just eating dinner. But dreams are like we were eating dinner and the table caved in and a dog came out and we don't even own a dog and, you know, all these kind of crazy things happen in our dreams. So thank you for your dream. My next dream is from Maria Dulce, and she says, Dear Nadia, I was listening to the show from the last 7th of September 2017, where you explain the meanings of most of the common dreams. Then I remember some of mine. I had dreams about my parents not long after they passed away. I saw my dad sitting by the window in a train as started to move, leaving the station. Looking outside in a relaxed attitude, I knew that he meant he was going home and that he knew he was going home as well. I felt a detachment at the same time. That's the first one. So that's his way of telling you that he left and he's leaving. And interesting when our parents pass because they still want to come back and take care of us. And I even pre-thought that, oh, my God, if I died, you know, how I was going to bug my kids. Now, will I really do that? I don't know. I just think it was funny to even think it. However, I did, when my mom first passed, she kept coming and she kept coming and she kept coming. And like I was still, I think, in Chicago, but all the way to when I came back to California. So probably 2-3 days after, you know, she's just like all over my dreams. And finally one day I go, Mom, I got to be able to sleep, because it was like every night. And then I go, you got to let me sleep. And then I didn't see her for a long time. And I was like, oh, what did I do? But she was letting me know she was okay. And then there were times I really, really missed her. And I didn't know how to get her to come back. But I just told her I missed her very, very much. And I had made this one dish she taught me to cook in June, and she died in April. And I wanted to call her and tell her that I just made her favorite dish, one of her, she like was known for this dish. And she taught me how to make it, and it takes twice as long to do it her way, but it's twice as good. So I made it, and I picked up the phone, and I dialed her number, and I was waiting for her to pick up. Totally just glossed over the fact that my mom passed away. And the phone number at our house still rang, because we did not sell my mom's house yet. And everything in the Midwest, when you have a house for sale, you can't turn anything off, because if it freezes, the pipes could burst. And, you know, you got to be able to flush the toilets and all the stuff when you have a vacant house. So we had to do all these things. So the phone was still on. And it rang. Not funny. And so I realized that my mom wasn't there. And it took me from April until that day I called her in June to burst out crying. It was like I did not believe it. And I was with her when she passed, and she looked so happy when she left that it kind of confused me, in the sense that, you know, I couldn't cry. I mean, I cried here and there, but not bawled. And that day I bawled. After that, I saw her in a dream, and she was wearing one of my dresses. She always loved different kinds of plaids, and I had one plaid dress, and I even bought it because it reminded me of her. So I was wearing it, or she was wearing it in my dream. And she came to see me, and I looked at her, and I'm like, hey, Mom, you look really good. Wow, you look good enough. Wow, you should come over for dinner. And again, totally forgetting that she passed, because it was a dream. And we were holding hands, and she let go of my hand and walked away and said, Nadia, I wanted you to know, I'm happy now. I like it here. Think about that. And it was just white and us, her in that dress. I have no idea what I was wearing in my dream, but I remember that dress. So they come to us and they let us know, him going away in the train, leaving the station. He just, you know, it's them saying goodbye, touching base, loving you, especially in the beginning. It's, you know, where we're more attached. And then, you know, we see them again when we go home. But in the beginning, we're very, very attached, because we just saw them. And, you know, think about it, sometimes a week or 2 weeks only, it doesn't feel yet like it's gone. It takes, they say, a year, a full year after someone dies, where you go through every holiday, every birthday in your family. Because by the next year, it's the second time you haven't been with them. So those five stages of grief and all of that, you know, happen in their own time. But a full year of events that happen without them is usually kind of, I want to say, like a growth. So you had another dream. You said, I saw my mom sitting in the middle of a completely dark square room. not very big, wearing black clothes, and her hair was untidy. I came close to her, very concerned, but she told me that she was okay. She was waiting with resignation and acceptance in her heart. For some reason, I knew I couldn't stay there any longer or do anything for her. I left feeling sad, but trusting that she would be out soon. End of dreams. Oh, that's interesting. That sounded like she had to feel some things that happened in her life, and she was still going through that, it sounds like, because I know we go back home, and right when we do, we, like, see everything we've done, and we see how it's affected everybody, and we feel it, and it's not bad, it's just what happens. But this is more how you feel about your mom and maybe things that you may have thought, you know, just needed a little cleaning. So it's almost like she knew she needed to sit through this. And you also knew enough to trust that she knew what she was doing. And it's interesting. We all trust our moms like that. But I do know that because I know, like, when I saw things and sometimes after I went back home and I saw what happens, I used to think about, you know, my mom or my dad, or I'll think about something people did and I go, oh, you'll know when you get home. Like, I think that in my mind. I don't just go out and throw that around, but I do think that. I think, well, you know, you'll know how this affected me when you get back home. You'll see what you did when you get back home. Oh, I'll get to do this again when I'm home if I want to. Things I really enjoyed, really loved. And it's an interesting thing because this is, I don't want to say it's an illusion here. Because when we hear words like that, it gets all muddled into everything's an illusion, including us. And that's not true. There's a us. Here we are. We can see ourselves. We can touch ourselves. We can walk around. We're not an illusion. But the things that happen feel illusionary. And, you know, I may see something, you may see something, we both will have seen two different things. I may feel something, you may feel something, we may feel two different things. Something that makes me happy might make somebody else sad. So in that respect, there's a sliding scale of emotion that we have to check in with each other time and time again just to know what we're thinking about in between each other. And with your mom, like the illusion you had of her not being taken care of, she probably, and I don't know your guys' story, but she probably herself didn't take very good care of herself. She may have of others, but there's something that she needed to go through, and you understood that. And you gave her space to do it. It's really interesting. I also had a dream. My son, you know, everyone knows he's playing baseball, and he woke up from a dream. And his dream was that he kept hitting over and over again the same ball and hitting these line drives over and over and over again. And it was just the reflection of what he thinks about all the time. So he wasn't in a deep state of sleep. And when we are in our sleep, we're dreaming. That stage is the stage where if we hear something or that, it'll wake us up. And then we can't remember the dream or the rest of the dream. But when you have such clear dreams of your mom, of your dad, of somebody asking you to rob a bank, of, you know, you gonna maybe jump off a building or something that's so extreme that it catches your attention. It's just like a little raindrop of a message. That's all it is. And that's, you know, one of the most interesting parts of dreams because, you know, I was dreaming right before we woke up and I'm starting to remember more of my dreams. For some reason, they are, I want to say, more vivid. And all the stuff that, you know, Christ has told me along the way, I'm not only talking about more, but I'm seeing it more. And what I've been seeing over and over again is standing at a podium and talking to people. And I used to have these dreams literally 16 years ago, maybe that whole first year. I couldn't get away from those dreams. And they stopped for a long time, to the point where I was almost, you know, like so used to them that they started not meaning the same thing to me. They didn't feel like they were that big or anything like that was happening. So then what happened was, as I was dreaming that dream, I hear Christ say, "It's not a dream anymore. It's time." And I knew, in without him saying it, I knew that that was why. And when we sleep and we don't have control of our conscious mind, those little bits and pieces, you know, you're walking around during the day and you get like a flash. You can see something. And you see it so clearly and then it's gone. Just like a flash. You have a moment. And when that happens, that like extrapolated into the evening, but that's something deep inside and it's trying to get your attention. So once it gets your attention, you start to think about it and you try to overanalyze it. But just let it go. Let it go. It'll come back to you in a way it needs to come back to you. It's really hard. It's really, really hard to feel like you're trying to make something happen. We put pressure on ourselves. Our ego starts jumping around. It's, what if it's this? What if it's that? You will find out. Because I did have those dreams 16 years ago. And, you know, little bits and pieces of it happened. But 16 years ago. And now I'm having them again. And I'm doing the things that I saw myself doing, but on a very small scale. But the fact that I was told, well, this isn't really a dream. It's time when our dreams are preparing us so that when things happen, we say, oh, wow. Like Susan's dream about, you know, somebody asking her, believe it or not, to help her with a robbery, and she's holding the door. Who would hold the door in a robbery? Not knowing there was going to be a robbery, the first thing I would say would be, well, wait a minute, you're going to get in trouble. And you could hurt somebody. And I wouldn't have even done it. So what I saw with Susan was that she was willing to help almost at her own expense. Pay attention to what you're doing, even who you're helping, because sometimes people may not need it and you may be doing it. Sometimes people may need it and you're not doing it. Pay attention to your heart, how you feel, how you interact, how much time you have, value your time. All of that needs to come into play. A lot of one of the things we did at the summit was that we told everybody, or I told everybody, and I say we because I got Christ hanging around all the time, but he had us write, what if we had 7 days to live? Well, how many times have we heard that question? Well, what if you only had a week to live? What would you do? But that wasn't enough. It was, well, what would you do on Sunday? What would you do on Monday? What would you do on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday? It made you break it down into days. What would you do the first day of the week, of the last day of your last days of your life? What would you do the next day, the next day? What would you do the last day? Because when you can answer that question, those are your real dreams. And if you did not do any of those 7 things yet in your life, or how many things filled those 7 days, If you did not do them, yet in your life, find a way. Find a way. It wasn't about really dying at the end. It was about you not living by you not doing the stuff that means the most to you. I had a father say, wow, thinking of it like that, I am going to spend more time with my kids. But if you were to wait until you really had about a week left, sometimes most of the time no warning, but if you really had that little bit of time left, it's too late. So the whole point of that exercise was to tell you, to tell yourself, what's most important to me today? Our dreams push us, but these are daydreams. These are life dreams that we have control over doing. So if you, on that Wednesday of that week, what would you do? And you realize how much time a week is. Because we normally don't have all of our time every day. We have to give it to work and to this and to that. And it's easy for our days to melt into each other over and over again until it does feel like Groundhog Day. What am I doing? I'm in traffic again. What am I doing? I'm at work again. But if you had 7 full days, you do not even think past. Nobody, not one of the people that were sitting, said I would go to work. It doesn't mean work is bad. It just means to put it in perspective, to make time for your families. To make time for your families. I see Francis wrote in the chat, 27 minutes to sign in, a new record for me. Wow! You know, Blog Talk Radio does that at times, and I just keep trying because any signal it gives me, I know it's going to come up different every time. And this was a long one, you're right. But I wanted to go back to those 7 days. If there's anything you do today, wherever you are, jot down Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And write down what you would do. It is not an easy thing to do. It is not an easy thing to do. What happens is that when you think it through, at the end of it all, you start to see what is most important to your life. You start to see that it is your life. You start to see what matters and what doesn't. And we are amazing once we know on what's important to us, what our time is worth, what it isn't. Hey, that wasn't one of my 7 days. Hey, that wasn't one of the 50 things I was going to do in those 7 days. Should I be doing that now? Is it important enough for me now? But it realigns your lines of focus. And it realigns your mental state of how you organize your life. It just puts purpose where it belongs. It puts your dreams where they belong. Because a lot of times when we have our night dreams, it's to direct our daytime. You guys, I have 10 seconds. I will see you tomorrow for Questions Friday. I love you so very much. See you soon. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show. To learn more, visit www.nadiakhalil.com.